Good morning. Good to see everyone. I invite you to stand and join in singing our gathering hymn, Gentle Shepherd. Words are in your bulletin. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship God today. We are so happy that you're here with us today. I know we have folks who have come home to be with mothers for Mother's Day. And to our mothers, let me say happy Mother's Day. We appreciate you and thank you for all that you do. Let me also welcome those joining us by radio or on the internet. We're grateful for your joining us today and pray it'll be a blessing to you and invite you to come and worship with us in person here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We'd love to have you. Let me mention several things very quickly. We will not have youth group this afternoon to allow families time together. And then our deacons will meet Tuesday evening at 6. And Kids Club will be at 6 on Wednesday. And this will be the last time until school resumes in the fall, and then our choir practice will be at 6:15 and prayer and Bible study at 7 as we continue in a study of how Jesus dealt with people. Now, next Sunday will be our spiritual renewal focus with Dr. Mike Cogdell, and I want to encourage you to be sure to be here and to invite others to be here. It will certainly be a blessing to our church, and I hope that you'll be here to experience that. He is a retired professor and founding dean of Campbell University Divinity School. And we'll have morning and evening services next week. We'll have a fellowship dinner at 5 o'clock and then service at 7 o'clock Sunday evening. So please make plans to be here and to be a part of that and be in prayer for it between now and then. Applications are being accepted for our two college scholarships that are available to Murfreesboro Baptist Church members and their children. And you can see the bulletin for details about that. It is a beautiful Lord's Day, and it is the fourth Sunday of the season of Easter, and this day is commonly referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday, and you'll see that as we move along in our worship today. With that being the case, let me share with you our call to worship that comes from John chapter 10. It was the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. And so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Let's worship God together, and let's pray. Father, you sent your only begotten Son, our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, to be our gracious, gentle, good shepherd, who laid down his life for us and took it up again so that we might have abundant, everlasting life. As we gather now as the sheep of your pasture to worship you in spirit and in truth, make your presence known among us and speak to us of the glories of your Son and the grace that you've lavished on us through him. Through Jesus Christ, our risen good shepherd, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 64, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Number 64. You may be seated, and let's have the children to come for the children's sermon.
Anybody want to tell me what he said? Good Shepherd Sunday. So I think it's actually actually appropriate that Good Shepherd Sunday and Mother's Day fall together. Because what does a shepherd do? He takes care of his sheep. And our moms take care of us, don't they? And shepherds' jobs are to protect their sheep. Our moms' jobs are to protect us. So in today's story, in the scripture that Pastor Mark's going to read later, he's going to talk about everything that God does for us as our shepherd. But we want to thank them, and we want to thank all our moms and all our mom figures in the congregation, because they may not have birthed you, but there are probably some women in this church that are like a mom to you. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for moms. We thank you for giving us your son, our shepherd. And we thank you for all that he does for us. In your son's name, amen.
Good morning. I'm reading from Acts 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which is Greek, in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay. So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, 'Tabitha, get up.' Then he opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner." The word of the of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Revelation chapter 7:9-17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands, they cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter him. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Praise his holy name.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
Thank you. You may be seated. As we join together in prayer now, there are a number of folks that we have requests for today. Many of you know that Debbie Hill fell earlier in the week and broke her elbow and had to have surgery on it. She is doing well, recovering, but please continue to remember her in your prayers. Genevieve Broadhead is still over at Rich Square, but on May the 20th, she's going to be moved to the VA home in Richmond. So please be praying for her and Chris in that transition. Also, Todd Brooks, who's a student of Sarah Davis, was injured in a freak welding accident. So please be praying for him. Tom and Ann Calkins. Tom had a fall recently. So please continue to remember them in your prayers. We're also continuing to pray for Randy and Cindy Copeland and Gary Brett, Bonnie Jenkins. We're adding Mariana Cotton, who is having surgery next Friday. And I'm sure that there are others who are on your hearts and minds, and so we want to remember them as we pray today. So let's join together in prayer now. I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Merciful and gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for all that you've done for us, especially the mercy and grace that you've shown us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that just as you had promised your people Israel in times past in the Old Testament, you sent him to be our good shepherd, to rescue us from sin and deliver us from destruction, to make us lie down in green pastures and beside still waters, to lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We thank you for his protection when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and for the assurance that your goodness and mercy pursue us all the days of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the material blessings you lavish on us as well. You provide for our needs. You help us in our trials. You give us the joys of family, friends, meaningful work, relaxing play that honors you, and many other blessings as well, Lord. And for those, we are grateful. But we come also to lift our petitions and intercessions to you with our thanksgivings, Father. And so we pray for the work of your kingdom in the world and for your church throughout the world. We pray, Lord, that you will help us as your people truly to be a shining light that bears a winsome witness to those who don't know you. We pray for our missionaries wherever they are serving and ask your blessings and help for them and for those they share the gospel with. Lord, we pray for our church here at Murfreesboro and for our upcoming spiritual renewal focus. We pray that you will bless Dr. Cogdell as he prepares to come and speak. We pray that you will bless us and open our hearts and minds to be attentive and receptive to what he will share as he comes. And Lord, we pray that it will indeed be a time of renewal in our hearts and in our church. We pray, Father, for those who suffer and grieve, whether it's physical needs or spiritual needs, or the loss of loved ones or some other kind of loss. Lord, you know about each situation, and we lift them to you and ask your help for each one. We pray, Father, for healing for those who need it. We pray for endurance for those who need endurance, and grace and comfort for those who are in need of those. Father, we pray on this Mother's Day for mothers. We pray that you would bless them in a special way. We thank you for them and ask that you would help them to be the mothers that you would have them to be, that you would help them to show their children the ways of the Lord, and that you would help them to guide their children and to be a support and an encouragement to them. And Lord, we know that for some, Mother's Day is a painful day because of what may never have been, because of what has come about with a wayward child, or Lord, for other reasons, for the loss of a mother. We pray, Father, for those for whom today is difficult, and ask your special help for them as well. We pray, Lord, for our children and our youth, and for their families and their teachers and those who guide them in other ways, we ask, Lord, that you will bless them and help them to grow to become strong disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for our college students. We pray for all the students, faculty, staff, administration at Chowan, and Lord, as they have wrapped up another academic year and look forward to the next one, we pray that you'll give them a good and restful break. But Father, that you will continue to work in the hearts and lives of students. Father, we pray for those who don't know you. We ask that you would touch their hearts and open their minds that they might receive the good news of the gospel, and that you'll help us to be faithful in bearing a winsome witness to them. And Lord, for those who know you but are not walking with you right now and not walking in the fellowship of your church, we pray that your Spirit would work with them and draw them back to yourself and to the fellowship of your people. And Lord, we pray for this time of worship now. Father, when we come to worship, so many times we come with distractions, but help us, Lord, to put all those things aside and to focus our hearts and our minds on you, on our Lord Jesus Christ, what you have done in him, on being open to your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to work among us. And Lord, in this time of worship, may your will be done in all things, and may you be honored and glorified and your church built up. And so may all glory be to you now, O God, in the name of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, who was dead but is alive, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, is one God forever and ever. Hear us, Lord, as we lift our prayers in the words of that prayer that Jesus taught us, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 66, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need. Number 66. us pray. Heavenly Father, giver of all good gifts, you gave us your greatest gift when you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus, to show us your ways and to die on the cross for us, and then raised him from the dead in vindication and victory. And just as he willingly laid down his life for us, may we lay down ourselves and the possessions you've entrusted to us, to you and for you. Help us to give a sacrificial portion to you with cheerful and generous hearts to support the work of your kingdom through this church, knowing that you love a cheerful giver. Through Christ our risen Lord we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. If I were to ask you, what's your favorite passage from the New Testament this morning? Chances are many of you would say John 3:16. Or some of you may say Romans chapter 8, where Paul talks about our confidence in Christ. Some of you might say Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where Jesus calls those who are heavy laden and burdened to come to him and find rest. If I were to ask you about your favorite Old Testament passage, or more specifically about your favorite psalm, I would venture a guess that many, if not most, maybe even all, would answer the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. It's probably one of the best known and most loved passages of Scripture from the Hebrew Bible that we Christians call the Old Testament, and I invite you to listen to it now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is it about Psalm 23 that makes us love it so much? It's like an old friend who's been with us throughout our lives through thick and thin, isn't it? We turn to it in times of joy to sing of God's goodness and his care for us. We turn to it in times of trouble to remind us that he's leading us as we go through the deepest, darkest valleys of life. Indeed, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe the greatest appeal of this dear friend is the beautifully profound simplicity of it. It is such a powerful image that it gives us of God's relationship with us, the relationship of a shepherd with his sheep. Now, people in ancient Palestine would have been very, very familiar with this because there were shepherds with sheep all over the place. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing them. They would even, during certain times of the year, bring them into the villages at night to put them in a sheepfold, and then at other times of the year, they would keep them out in the fields at night. Well, people knew about shepherds, and they knew about sheep. In fact, if you include lambs and rams, there are more than 500 references to sheep in the Bible. And where there were sheep, there were shepherds. And most cultures have been able to relate to this image through the ages. Even today in the Middle East, shepherds and sheep are still everywhere. If you go over there and visit in the Holy Land, you won't go very far before you'll see a Bedouin taking care of a flock of sheep. And sometimes in some places, you even have to stop when you're going down the road because there's a shepherd leading his flock across the road. It's a very moving image. It's generally accepted that King David wrote this psalm, and he was a musician. He was also the king of Israel, but before he was a warrior and a king, David was a shepherd. He knew sheep. He knew how a good shepherd cares for his sheep. And so it's not surprising that he'd use this image to talk about God's goodness. And that's what this psalm is, after all. It's a song about our shepherd. Now, what are sheep like? Well, they're often affectionate. They're usually not aggressive, but they're dirty. They don't smell good. They're not very smart. They can be destructive because They'll just keep eating at the same place in the grass until they eat it all the way down into the nub of the roots, and then that keeps them from having good pasture later on. They're helpless. If a sheep gets cast, if it falls on its side and rolls over on its back, it can't get back up by itself. It needs the help of a shepherd to get back on its feet. Sheep always need a shepherd. They need a shepherd to save them from themselves as well as from their enemies. Now, in the Old Testament, God is often pictured as the shepherd of his people Israel, but David personalizes it in this psalm. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. In a sermon on this psalm, Wayne Stacy notes that this image of God as shepherd is so deep and pervasive in the scriptures that in the New Testament, there's only one place where the word shepherd or shepherds is used that's talking about literal shepherds. And guess where that is? It's in Luke chapter 2, when the angels announce the birth of the good shepherd to the shepherds in the field. Everywhere else, it's either used to talk about Christ or in a few places to talk about church leaders. Well, maybe that's part of the reason this psalm is such a dear old friend, that both comforts us in our trials and griefs and also expresses our joyful confidence in the Lord. It's so beautiful, isn't it? So simple, so moving, and yet so profound. My seminary Hebrew professor, Dr. Elmo Scoggin, would often recite this psalm in Hebrew in class. And it was beautiful. And the beauty of it carries over into many of our English translations, especially in the classic rendition of the beloved King James Version and the translations that are in its tradition. Another one of my seminary professors, in talking about Bible translations in class one day, said this: "Any pastor that reads the 23rd Psalm out of anything besides a King James Version at a funeral ought to be shot." And I have heeded that advice through the years. The reading, not the shooting. But the appeal of this old friend is more than just the beauty of its poetry. It's the power of the image. The metaphor of God as our shepherd. As my shepherd. Taken together, the poetry and the images combined to make it, in my opinion, the most beautiful and certainly the most beloved of all the Psalms. It's probably been read at the bedsides of more sick saints and at more funerals and memorial services than maybe any other single passage of Scripture. I can't tell you how many times I've used it. One of those times that still stands out in my mind nearly 40 years later was when I stood by Josephine's bedside in Rex Hospital. She was dying of cancer. I was just a seminary student pastoring a small church. And as I stood there and read the 23rd Psalm, as I was reading, I looked up at her, and she was repeating it with me, finding comfort and strength in it. And so we sing with David about our shepherd. Sometimes we sing this psalm with all the joyful exuberance of the Hallelujah chorus, praising God for all of his care and his abundant, overflowing blessings. Sometimes we sing it in a minor key, looking for comfort and strength and assurance when our hearts are weighed down with troubles and trials and heartaches and grief or depression and despair. And you can sing it either way, and it works either way, because when we sing it, it reminds us of three truths that we celebrate in the midst of blessing, and three realities that give us help in our helplessness and hope in our hopelessness. Because you see, when we sing about our shepherd, we sing about his provision. His provision. The Lord provides everything we need. David's description of God's care here is all-inclusive. I shall not want. In other words, I won't lack anything. I won't lack for anything because God provides it all. Our shepherd gives us security and sustenance. He makes me lie down in green pastures where there's abundance of food. He gives us rest and refreshment. He leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. He gives us guidance. He leads me in right paths or paths of righteousness for His name's sake. David knew in his relationship with the Lord what Jesus described in John chapter 10. As the good shepherd, Jesus said that He had come to lay down His life for His sheep. And that was something that no other shepherd would have done. Yes, they would have fought off the beast to protect the sheep, but they would not give their lives for the sheep. But Jesus said, I lay down my life for my sheep, and I take it up again. He sacrificed Himself for us so that we could have abundant life, eternal life. So when we put our trust in Jesus, we experience this kind of life David was talking about here, a life where our good shepherd provides us with everything that we need. And that sort of makes believable the story I heard one time about the little girl who accidentally recited the psalm beginning this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, He's all I want." There's a lot of truth to that. So we sing about our shepherd's provision. We also sing about His protection. Now, experiencing abundant life where our shepherd provides all of our needs doesn't mean that we never face any difficulties or dangers or hardships or trials, not at all. Rather, it means that He protects us when we do. David knew that even in the very darkest valley, he could trust in the Lord without fear, knowing that He was with him. And using this shepherd metaphor, he described God's protections in terms of His rod and His staff, the two basic tools of an ancient shepherd. A shepherd used his rod as a club to fight off the wild predators. His staff was a long pole or a long rod that had a crooked end on it. And with that, he used it to guide his sheep, or sometimes to retrieve his sheep, to pull them back when they were getting out of line or into a dangerous situation. I've heard that when a shepherd led his sheep along a ledge in those mountains in Israel, that he would tap that staff on the edge of the ledge. And as long as the sheep could hear him tapping, they were calm because they knew where they were supposed to go. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David said God's presence drove away his fear, and his rod and staff brought him comfort, whatever he was facing. In John chapter 10, Jesus gives us this same kind of assurance as the good shepherd. He told the Jewish leaders who were challenging him that his sheep hear his voice, and he knows them, and they follow him. And he said that as they do, no one could snatch them out of his hand. And his Father, who was greater than all and had given them to him, no one could snatch them out of his Father's hand. And that he and the Father are one. In other words, even in the deepest, darkest valleys of life, we can be sure that Jesus, our good shepherd, is leading us and will care for us and protect us no matter what we're facing. Indeed, even when the time comes for us to die, we can trust our shepherd to take us to our eternal home. And finally, since our shepherd's also our gracious host, he continually graces us with his presence. Now, David makes a subtle shift in his imagery here, away from the shepherd to the gracious host that God is. Now, traditionally, we Southerners are have been known for our hospitality, and we're proud of that. But I can tell you, our hospitality pales in comparison to God's hospitality. David says that God made him his guest of honor, that he spread a table before him, a table of abundance, even while his enemies were standing over there looking on. You see, he had enemies, he had trials and tribulations and troubles, but even in the midst of all that, God spreads a table before them. And he said that he gives him so many blessings. He anoints him with a scented oil as a sign of his favor and his blessing, that he gives him more than he could receive, filling his cup to the point that it's overflowing, that it's running over. And because of all this blessing, David declared that God's goodness, his mercy, and his steadfast love would follow him all the days of his life, and that he would remain in God's presence always. Now, sometimes we say or sing that truth so much that we begin to lose sight of what it means, or we even misunderstand it altogether. I read about another little girl that was visiting with her family a famous castle on the hill at Heidelberg, Germany. And over the arched castle entrance, they're carved into the stone portals two angels, and one of them is named Goodness, and the other is named Mercy. And as the tour guide was telling her family about those two angels, the little girl spoke up and said, "Where's the third one?" And the guide was puzzled, and he looked at her, and he said, "The third one? What do you mean, the third one?" She said, "You know, surely, like the Bible says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me." Well, there's following and then there's following. And lots of times when we think about this passage, we think about that goodness and mercy are just, you know, kind of back there behind us somewhere, and they catch up to us once in a while. But the word that David uses here is the word for relentlessly pursuing. And it's usually used about an enemy relentlessly pursuing somebody. But here, with the Lord as our shepherd, it is goodness and mercy, God's steadfast love, that is relentlessly pursuing us all the days of our lives. That no matter what we're going through, God's mercy and God's goodness are right there with us. And what more can we ever ask for than to be in God's presence in the Lord's house? For Him to be our gracious host. We experience this in this life as we enjoy fellowship with Him in a right relationship through faith in Christ. And one day we'll experience it in His blessed immediate presence for all eternity. And so we sing about our shepherd. We sing about His provision, about His protection, and about His presence with us in this life. But do you know what's even more amazing? As John put it in that passage that Gene read for us earlier, in Revelation chapter 7, when we leave this life, when we are with God around His throne, praising and serving Him day and night, sheltered in His presence, we will hunger no more and thirst no more, nor be struck by the sun or any scorching heat, because even then, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd, and He will guide us to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And so Will you say it with me this morning? From the beloved King James Version, it's printed in your order of worship if you need it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful psalm that helps us to sing about you, our shepherd, about our Lord Jesus Christ, our good and gentle shepherd. Bless us now in these moments of reflection and commitment, that we might be obedient to you in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing again about our shepherd. Number 65, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." As we do, perhaps God is speaking to you about something in your life, trusting him more deeply, looking to him, maybe renewing your commitment to him, or if you've never followed him as your Lord and Savior, giving your life to him today. Whatever your need is this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing number 65.
Thank you.
church, we had a gentleman who knew the Lord and loved him and always had a positive outlook. When you ask him how he was doing, his standard response was, "I'm living the dream." But then for a while he changed that. Something else that he had heard. "David, how you doing today?" "Man, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup's overflowing." Boy, isn't that the way it is as we walk with the Lord? Drinking from our saucer because our cup's overflowing. Thank you for being here today. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for being our shepherd. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our good shepherd who laid down your life for us so that we might have life. Who took your life up again as the risen Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Help us now to walk in the confidence and the joy that we find in this beautiful song, no matter what we're facing day by day, for all the days of our lives. We pray in his name. And now, as you go, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.